Lesson chapter 6, and these are the greatest stories ever told, the parables of Jesus Christ, and this is bearing fruit, bearing fruit. I think I said Matthew chapter, I don't know what I said, but it's Luke chapter 13. You know how you hear that echo coming back at you? It's Luke chapter 13, whatever I said. I think Dr. Barber did that the other day. I'm feeling real good about that now. Luke 13, bearing fruit. And Christ gives a simple story right here, pointed, direct, and we want to catch the emphasis that Christ places. As the pastor said often, we want to place the emphasis where God and God's Word places the emphasis. And the emphasis is not here really on the fruit or the lack of it, the fruit or the barrenness, but the emphasis on what is the cause for bearing much fruit, or the cause, what's missing when fruit is missing and when it's barren. Look in Luke chapter 13 and verse 6 through 9. As you're preparing for Sunday, you'll want to read and get the whole context here and back up into Luke chapter 12 and reading down through beginning at 13, chapter 13, verse 1 through 5. And we'll look at that a little bit later as well. But you'll see in response to the statement that Christ make in verse 5 of Luke chapter 13, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Then he gives this parable and this story and a spiritual truth, and he's speaking to them about something familiar to his audience. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? Well, that's a pointed question, isn't it? And you'll want to mark that, have your class mark that in your Bible. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Bearing fruit. And here we see a story. Simple story about a fig tree. And the owner walks by and says, well, this third year I've been by here and still no fruit. Just cut the thing down. Cut it down, get rid of it. And the owner says, just give us this one more year. Give us one more year right here. And we're going to do some work on it and fertilize it and till the soil around it. Give it some special attention. And then if it doesn't bear fruit, well, then fine, we'll go ahead and cut it down. But it might bear fruit. And so that's what we're looking at this week, bearing fruit and some special things that you'll see in relation and application to this tree and bearing fruit. Look at these three things with us together quickly, if you would. The privilege of fruit bearing. Number one, the privilege of fruit bearing. Take the time to take your class to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, because you're going to read a story. You'll remember, of course, that there's one interpretation of Scripture, but there are many applications. One interpretation, but many applications. And here in Isaiah chapter 5, just as we have in this parable in Luke chapter 13, we have a story, and it deals with God and God's people, the nation of Israel. But we can apply it to our lives. And in Isaiah chapter 5, you sing, now will I sing to my beloved, a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Now, what do we have here? We have the picture of God, and he's telling about how he selected his people, Israel. And he says, I've done everything imaginable for them. Such care was given to this group of people. Such care, just as you see in this vineyard right here. And fenced it, and gathered the stones out of it, planted it with the choicest vine, built a tower, on and on it goes. Verse 3, and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. Verse 4 says, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. Now I will lay it in waste, it shall not be pruned nor dig, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it, For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. And here we have a specific God speaking about his people and their lack of bearing fruit and his judgment upon them. That's the interpretation. Just like this parable, Christ speaking, it's a Jewish speaking to the Jewish people, but we can make the application in our lives. And here we see the wonderful privilege of fruit bearing. And just like in Luke chapter 13, this tree was planted in the midst of this vineyard. Isaiah chapter 5, we have this beautiful vineyard, and so we can think in our own lives about the privilege of fruit bearing. What opportunity do we have to bear fruit? Or may I say, what opportunity we have to bear fruit? We're a very privileged people. You can attack that from any angle you want. If you want to talk about here we are in America, the most prosperous nation in the history of the world, you say, my, what privileged people we are and opportunity we have to bear fruit. If you want to talk about our church, the Temple Baptist Church, and you think, my, what privileged people we are. I overheard a teenager say this week, it's a teenager who has the opportunity to play in the church orchestra. And they said, I heard him saying, just think about it, what opportunity we have to be in a church like this, and we get to play in that orchestra. And I thought, well, that's good. They recognize that. But what is he talking about? He was talking about a privilege of bearing fruit. And that's the privilege that we have. However you want to look at it, you think about spiritually, you know, and God gave his only son for us. What privilege we have. What opportunity we have for bearing fruit. I love the verses in Psalms, the 103rd Psalm, Psalm 103, talking about this thing of privilege and what we have. And the psalmist says it this way, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then the psalmist goes on and lists them. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities and healeth all thy diseases, redeemeth thy life from destruction, crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Forget not all of his benefits. We are a privileged people. Psalm 68, the psalmist recounting again, he says, what shall I give? Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. We have a privilege. We have a privilege. Now, we're going to see our responsibility, but it is easy to establish the fact that we have a privilege to bear fruit, a privilege of bearing fruit. We're just like that tree that's in the middle of that vineyard, all the opportunity we could ever want. We're just like God's chosen people in that vineyard, all the opportunity that we could ever hope to have. That's the privilege of fruit bearing, and he expects us to bear fruit. He expects it of us, and he has every right to expect it of us. That's the privilege of fruit bearing. Secondly, from here we see the personal accountability of fruit bearing. The personal accountability. It gets a little convicting here. Luke chapter 13, you see in verse 1 through 5, these people are going to compare themselves with other people. We like to do that, don't we? You say, well, man, I'm getting much more done than so-and-so. Well, look at them. They don't even go to church three times a week. Look what I do. God says, nope, that's not the right idea. Look in Luke chapter 13. There were present that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Pilate had executed judgment on a group of people for sacrificing. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or of those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And here this group of people had fallen into the trap that we all have a tendency to fall into. They were comparing themselves with other people. And God says, no, it's not that at all. Except ye repent, you're going to be just like them. You shall all likewise perish. The personal accountability for bearing fruit. Down at verse 7, why cumbereth it the ground? That's what the owner said of this fig tree. Why cumbereth it the ground? It's personal accountability. And we're going to give an account of our privilege and our opportunity. 2 Peter chapter 1, talking about bearing fruit. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And we've talked often about it. You don't add faith. Faith is a gift from God. But to that faith, we can add virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Now, verse 8. For if these things, what things? These eight things we've just listed, seven things plus faith. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a personal accountability of bearing fruit. Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And that's the personal accountability. We're responsible for that in our own lives. John 15, and we've just heard a pointed message from John 15 recently. Wasn't that a blessing, Dr. Barber, on Sunday evening? But here it is. Mark the phrases right here. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, there you have it in verse 2, at the end of verse 2, that it may bring forth more fruit. And then down in verse 5, much fruit. You have those marked? Fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Now, how do we bear much fruit? I think it'd be safe to say, we could ask anybody in this room, or you could ask anyone in your Sunday school class on Sunday, would you like to be fruit, more fruit, or would you like to be in the much fruit category? Everybody would say, yes, I want to bear much fruit. Well, how do you bear much fruit? I am the vine, you are the branches, verse 5. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Personal accountability, individual accountability to God. The question that was pointed to us this past Sunday, is my life pleasing to God? Am I abiding in Christ and Christ in me? Personal accountability. All give account of ourselves, Romans chapter 14. The personal accountability of bearing fruit. And then finally, the purpose of fruit bearing. The purpose of fruit bearing. And it's very simple. Very simple. John 15 and verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So what's the purpose of bearing fruit? We have the privilege. Sure, all this opportunity. All of this opportunity. The personal accountability of bearing fruit. Pastor talks about in the reading material that we as we live today, are between the cut it down stage and Christ's return. I mean, can you sense that? Can you see how God is tilling the ground and fertilizing and disturbing the area? And we have that opportunity. That's the personal accountability. But the purpose, very simply given to us in John chapter 15, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified. It all belongs to him, and it's all about him. And if we bear much fruit, Christ said, if you bear fruit, why? Just so you can have much fruit, so you can store up more fruit and show everybody else that yes, we have more fruit, more fruit, more fruit. Nope. He said it's very simple. So my Father can be glorified. So Christ can be glorified. That's been his purpose for the ages, make himself known. And that he be glorified. And that's the purpose of fruit bearing. The fruit is not the goal, you see it. But glorifying the Lord is the goal. And we get so confused making lots of other things the goal. And those things are just byproducts of the goal. And the goal is to glorify God. So fruit bearing, the privilege of fruit bearing, the personal accountability, and the purpose of fruit bearing. Luke chapter 13, as Christ gives this simple story about fruit bearing. May the Lord help us as we prepare to present this on this Sunday. Let's pray.